So I'd like to call the City of Detroit Oregon City Council regular session and public hearing October 24th, 2023, 6:30 p.m. And I should turn that on. Thank you all for being here tonight. We hope we don't blast you out with these. I'm going to invite you to those where they are. Before we do anything, I'd like to announce for anybody who's watching or trying to watch or doing this electronically, we do not have video tonight because if you were here, you can see the council chambers pretty much torn apart as we begin to put in the new sound system that we hope will deaden the sound in here and give us better video and audio, especially. So we're torn apart here. Hopefully, it'll be done by the next council meeting, but we'll have to see. But it's good things happening. Grab roll call, please.
Council Shepherd.
Present.
Council Page.
Here.
Councilor Loop.
Present.
Councilor Tisdale.
Here.
Councilor Smith.
Present.
Councilor Nielsen.
Present.
Mayor Tripp.
Present. We have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic on which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Special order for business. See none on the agenda. Committee reports. Time set aside for committee is established by law, ordinance, or other authority to report to the City Council on the committee's ongoing work. Oh, sorry. Approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Councilor Nielsen moves to approve the agenda. Second?
Second.
Second, Councilor Page. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Abstention? Motion passes unanimously. Reinforces for that? Nothing. We don't have any. Public comment. This is the time set aside for comments from the public on matters not on the agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Time may not be yielded. Questions from the council or staff to members shall not be counted against the allotted 3 minutes. Anybody like to address the council? Thank you. Come on. Item 8, resolutions, orders, and administrative action. Economic development strategy project, Kelly Lees.
I also brought along with me Larry Ruff because she's your biggest cheerleader and she needs moves.
Good to see you.
We're going to be talking.
You sure that's on? Kind of.
All right. My eating it now. All right. I have a presentation to show you and I can't remember if I had it in your pack or not. Okay?
Yeah, all right.
I do have some extra copies to distribute these around if you'd like. So we're here today to talk about our economic development strategy project. So we are working on updating our economic development strategy for our program. So this will help us determine how we're going to be spending our dollars that we receive as well as our staff time over the next 5 years. So we consider it pretty important for our work. And we wanted to make sure we got feedback from all of our communities on how we put this together and make sure that we're knowing what our communities are up to and knowing how we might be able to support each other better. So I've been going to each of our 20 cities over the last month and a half or something to that effect, and I'm so happy to be in Detroit today. It's like coming back around. I've been here before. I don't have to worry too much about, like, oh, who's that person or whatnot. So I appreciate you guys. Anyway, I think you guys know more about our economic development program than a lot of our cities, but our efforts work to grow the economy. And a lot of times people think of that as like bringing in that big new business that has 100 plus jobs, and it can be that, it often is, but it doesn't have to be. Economic development, as far as what the state considers the role, can be community development, it can be anything that helps support the keeping jobs, anything that helps grow a community, so it really can be a very vast amount of work that we work on. But our funding comes from Oregon Lottery proceeds. So 2.5% of net receipts of the lottery goes to Oregon counties to support economic development, and Marion County's portion of that goes to our economic development program. Our annual revenue from these proceeds is about $2 million. And then we work really hard to leverage those dollars with other grants and other resources to bring even more funds to our community. So this is a very odd year, and you guys know exactly why. This year, our grant revenue, we're anticipating, is $19 million. And a huge chunk of that is the Old Creek Promise Fund, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But the slide that shows kind of the pretty chart with all the different colors, this is a summary of our programs in our economic development program. So we have three different focuses. The first is lottery distribution, which is basically getting those funds and getting them out into the community as soon as possible. The one that most of our communities know the most about is the Community Prosperity Initiative, which is the IGAs with each of our 20 cities to provide $15,000 a year to support whatever your economic development goals are. And those will be expiring in June of 2024, so we're kind of using the strategic plan effort as a way to determine if that's a valuable resource for our communities, if it's working, if there's things we should change about it, whatever the case may be. And then we have a new grant program called the Emergent Economic Opportunity Program, which is a program that we established about 6 months ago to be able to support those projects that are like just about there funding-wise. Maybe they got a grant, maybe they have some other resources, and they wouldn't be able to be accomplished if they didn't have that little extra funding at the end. So it's really providing some gap funding for a lot of our projects. And then really what we spend most of our time on is business and workforce and infrastructure and economic investments. So business and workforce, we partner with a lot of the other agencies in the region to be able to support business and workforce efforts. We partner with SEDCOR for business retention and expansion. We help fund a business retention and expansion manager in Marion County. His name is Nick Carl. And then we've worked with one of our workforce partnership. We have a program with them called the Youth Wage Grant, which provides $5 an hour to businesses who hire youth between 14 and 17 in their first job, because we know how difficult it is for those businesses and the time it takes and the attention to get that youth trained up, and we really want to incentivize that. We have recently established a small grant program for our chambers, very similar to the Community Prosperity Initiative, where we would provide $10,000 a year to support our chambers and whatever their economic development goals are related to small business support. And then we've been working to establish the Canyon Area Business Forgivable Loan Program. So creating a loan program where businesses can apply, receive a loan, and if they are in business and provide a certain number of payments, that loan can be forgiven. So we'll be looking to establish that hopefully as we complete our downtown plans. But a lot of what we do is infrastructure and economic investments. So the pink column on the right, this is areas focused that include tourism. So we funded Trout Salem and Gordon Garden. And really, the last few are all things that relate to Canyon. So we have helped establish the North Canyon Sewer Authority with funding as well as staff time. The Detroit Marina's Excavation and Resiliency Project. I don't think I need to go into detail on that one with you. You know very well what that is. And then we have the Oval Creek Promise Funding. And the secret reason that I brought Larry along today is to talk about that.
Yes. So take yourselves back to 1996.
If I knew you could.
Wilderness was established, and it came off from logging lands and became the wilderness area. With that, the county and the communities not only lost those logging jobs, but also annual and quarterly timber revenue distributions from that area. And so back in 1996, the Congress then promised $15 million for economic development for the communities of the North Canyon Canyon, which stretches from Pima, Lyons, down to about Marion Forks along the 22 corridor. So all this work went in. I bet some of you guys were around when the 2000 EOA was developed, and then when the project provides in 2012, 2013, 2014, when there was another economic opportunity analysis done for how to spend those funds. So since about then, the county has been making different attempts attempts at trying to get that funding. And then when congressionally directed spending came back, then the county put in an ask for the $15 million Double Creek Promise. In 2022, we got the first taste of it, which was a $2 million grant to develop the Fannin Rail Trail, which is essentially a bike trail from the rest area to downtown Gates. And then in 2023, we heard, okay, we're going to get another $1 million grant. And a portion of that is paying for the Detroit Downtown Plan, as well as five other plans, such as the Gates Downtown Plan. We're waiting to do a Mill City Plan and an Idaho Plan the next year. And also a Double Promise Implementation Plan. And why are we doing this Double Creek Implementation Plan? Well, because after we got that $1 million appropriation, it passed just right before Christmas last year when they passed the omnibus bill, we got a call from Merkley's office and he said, hey, we had a rider in that bill in disaster relief for the remaining $12 million from the Double Creek Promise. And so he said, oh my God, that's all $15 million. So that was December, January that we heard that. And so we've been working really hard with the U.S. Forest Service and Business Oregon, and we've successfully wrestled that $15 million from the federal government to the state of Oregon. And now we're working to wrestle it down to Marion County, so that way we can sort of fit it within the structure of the strategic plan, within some of how to scale up some of our existing programs and our lottery distribution to distribute those grants. And so really, I'm just here make that announcement. Merkley's office just made the press release, and so I said, well, better let everybody know also. We have some next steps. So really, for those, it's get that money from the state is our first priority. Get these IGAs done so we can get it from Business Oregon to Marion County, and we can start spending it over the next 5 to 10 years, depending on what those grants are. And then develop an Oak Creek Promise Implementation Plan, which kind of like a super feasibility study concept plan almost, that will tell us how we're going to spend those remaining $12 million. And really, it's just a ton of outreach to make sure that as a Canadian community, we are united, strong, and making sure it's our voice and that it's the community's priorities. And of course, continuing those Detroit plans and Gates Downtown plans, as well as the other one, the planning portfolio, which is Mill City, Indiana. We have the one for North Fork Recreation Corridor to try to make some kind of make the campsites and the rec sites more cohesive together. And then also, of course, that implementation plan. Continue our ongoing Sandy and Rail Trail work. And I guess immediately, just tell the other communities too, at their city council meetings, that we've gotten these funds down from the feds to the state.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, broadband up here. Is that to get it further out, or is that?
Yeah, broadband efforts are to be able to get it to the rural communities where it's not necessarily doesn't pencil for the internet service providers to provide the service without some sort of incentive. So we've done some public-private partnerships, mostly in the ag areas around like Silverton, and then across I-5 kind of by St. Paul. But we have supported, when Lee was waived, kind of over my time, their funding to be able to get out to the canyon as well. Yeah.
You know, can we go back to the Canyon Area Business Forgivable Loan Program?
Yeah.
That's a fairly new piece, I believe, isn't it? What's going to be the qualifying part of that, and when does that roll out, and what kind of dollars are there?
All very excellent questions that we haven't really nailed down yet. So the idea behind that was to be able to provide that incentive to help promote what goes on with the downtown planning. So, I mean, downtown planning and creating that goal for what your community is isn't going to get you there. You need to be able to have the businesses to support it. So the idea behind it was to really, how do you create that carrot to support the businesses? services and help implement the plan. So to be totally frank, we have lost a staffer who was working on this, and I put my effort in, let's at least get the plan done, and then we can turn to you and focus on how we implement it with that, with those forgivable loans. So we put some thought into it. We've had conversations with the COG, who has a staffer who does loans, and he's been working on developing some draft policies, what it could look like based on the Latino Business Alliance one in the Salem area. But we've not gotten super duper far. I promise that when we get to a point where we're about like have some ideas, we'll come back up to the communities and hear what you have to say, talk to the chamber up here. So we won't roll it out, just, you know, here you go.
So is this something similar to, say, an urban renewal model type of deal? Or?
No, but that is another great tool that could potentially come out as a project from the downtown land. I mean, urban renewal would basically, usually it's ran by the city, but it can be the county, who would be able to take the proceeds from any increases in property taxes and use those dollars to be able, I mean, often they're to support businesses or like Main Street development, but sometimes it can be used for actual like infrastructure related things.
How much is in that,
For the canyon area loans?
Yes.
I don't remember, I'm so sorry.
It's all right, that's early on. So
this would be kind of more like our deal with business, or, you know, like water thing, when we borrow so much money, we make payments that are for you 40%. So it's kind of like that.
Yeah, that was the idea behind it. Was if your business wasn't, but if a business was here and making payments, we were thinking maybe they would be smaller payments while the business was getting up and running for the first 3 years. They make 2 full years of payments, then 5 years it can be forgiven. That was what was in the back of my head. But I really want to talk it out with the call, getting recommendations from communities.
And do you need help? Are you lobbying our legislators to get that money from the state?
I think we've got a lot of great support from Berkeley's office in particular.
I'm talking the state, getting the money from the state.
Yeah.
Should I be talking to the senator or not?
You can always give them takers, but we're expecting to start seeing those. We have dropped that date. It's coming in 4 pots. And so the first pot is that $2 million from 2022 that goes to the rail trail. The second pot is $1 million that's going to fund these 6 planning projects, and then about $300,000 of that $100 million goes for North Fork supplies, and then for the rec sites. And then the next pot is $3.6 million, which is programmatic, and so that could go for funding either cities or special districts or nonprofits or schools. And then the last bucket is 8.4 that goes to fund construction projects for actually rebuilding the canyon and doing the economic development construction project. And so those are kind of the order that those flow to us. First, the $2 million and that $1 million, because we've already started spending those on our projects, and so we've been carrying those costs for a long time. Every year we get reimbursed for those. And so we kind of have drop dead dates, December 1st for the $2 million, and then about the end of December is what we're calling it, about December 31st for that one. And then for that last call, we're calling it first quarter 2023. And so we've been getting those dates. We've already seen the first draft for the $2 million, and so we've developed the structure for it. We just wanted to add some funds to it.
So, you know what I'm going to ask?
Can it go towards the marinas?
Can it go towards the boat ramps?
It potentially can. It really just has to be.
Excuse me, but you know, when we talked before about this, and the biggest pushback on that was, that takes, you know, this many more years, this many less, everything. And my reply was, it takes longer if you don't start now.
It's more expensive.
And, you know, this town needs a boat ramp. They need parking. And we have the area out there, and you and I looked at it, and it's reasonable, it's feasible, especially with these kind of fundings. If we could get some of that channeled start the development of that and research that. It's the biggest thing this town would ever get. Along with the county parks that are still closed along the river and the canyon.
So the next couple months, we will be working on that implementation plan, which will really lay out exactly how those funds will be expended. So now's a great time as a community to talk about what you want, either as a council or with your peers out of the community, and bring those up. We'll be coming to the city to talk about it more directly. But yeah, so we'll get that feedback from the canyon communities. We'll do an open house, probably a couple virtual and in-person and all the things. And then we'll create that plan, get it out to the communities for you to review, and then get it to the Board of Commissioners for approval. So that's kind of the outline. We'll likely have the plan in spring 2024.
So the plan, when you are talking about the implementation plan, can we use some of the studies that Detroit has already had?
110%.
Okay, good.
Yes, And
then I wrote down June 2024. Is that when the $19 million has to be completed and put out to the communities by?
Yeah, so the $15 million, because it's coming in the four different pots, we all have different timelines. So the first three out of the four have 3 to 5 year timelines. They're 3 years standard, and we anticipate we'll probably ask for an additional two. And then construction will have a 10-year timeline. So we'll have a lot more information about all this, like materials, paperwork, when we come out to the communities for real. But we definitely wanted to let you know that this is coming so you can start having those conversations about what's really important for Detroit.
Just as an observation that I would throw out, that for small cities, that we've got only so much staff, and council's got multiple things in play at all times. If we could get a chart with drop-dead dates that was made available to, I'm sure, other cities as well, but that we would have kind of posted on the wall in our administrative office that show money's available, drop dead dates, when this is going to expire. So we always have a reference point to know if it's something we're trying to qualify or have thought about trying to qualify for, so we don't miss it. That date is up there on the wall, and it's like, if any one counselor goes, hey, what about that money that would it fit this, and what's the date you've got to get it in by before the money is gone? That would, I think, for the longevity of these amount of funds, I think it would be very helpful.
I don't know who to talk to about this, but I hope that there could be a pot of money for grant writers, because we need help. We're all volunteers here, and I got a grant once for the city of Detroit, which took me many, many hours. So if maybe some of that, those millions could be help, a pot could be put for a grant writer, I think that would help out the city a lot.
One last point, Kelly, following up on Councilor Page's comments. I've been working on a concept regarding workforce housing, and the other day I became aware of another need in the community related to the property I was looking at, which has to do with the old motel across from the gas station in the marina. I've been chatting with Chris Epperly, and he mentioned that the local creek money would be available within a year. Is that reasonable?
I mean, technically it's kind of available now, right? Because we're already spending on the trail and on the plane, but we can't start spending on 12 million yet.
Well, my point is,
We didn't ask for a pre award at the 12.
Oh, yeah.
We have a willing property owner, who would work with us. I mean, we could perhaps buy an option. Property.
There's a lot of things to talk about. So the Forest Service is the funding agent agency, and they have quite a few requirements for how dollars get spent. We ran into this when we were working with them before we started and utilized it for the $1 million. It's required to be utilized for public purposes. So it does get really very kind of fast if you start talking about buying property and then selling it to a private entity. But that's not to say that, I'm not saying we can't do it, we just think about how to do it. Like maybe it could be publicly owned and then leased. We'll have to talk out the Forest Service and figure out how to make it happen.
Workforce housing is probably one of the pivotal issues in this city in terms of making the business district profitable. If you don't have places for employees, and we've already had one business turnover within the year, being sold, actually closed down and then leased to a private entity out of the Albany area to reestablish the restaurant. So the point is, I just would like some guidance in terms of how we can follow up on this so that we don't miss an opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. And I will say, the Oval Creek dollars are not the only funds available, too. There are other funds more related to wildfire recovery specifically that I am not the expert in that might be good fits for this, too. So this is where it would be great to have the communities come up with all the projects that they're looking for, and then we can start to figure out, okay, well, this might not be a good fit for Oval Creek Promise, but maybe it's a good fit for the community development block grant or whatever the case may be.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. I squirreled you quite a bit, but I was actually here because I really want feedback on our economic development strategy. We do a lot up in the canyon. I think you guys are probably the most versed in how we function and how we support our area. But I would love to hear if there's anything that we can improve, anything that's important to you that you need support with, and how we can be able to continue to work together into the future. So we have a survey. You're welcome to complete either as individual city councilors or the city as a whole, staff, whatever works for you as a community. And we also have a public survey. So anyone in the audience, if you're listening, you're welcome to complete the public survey. There was a flyer on the table as you walked in. You're welcome to steal one as you leave, and you can complete that survey. And I'm also going to take the feedback that I heard today and kind of compile it for our consulting team, too. So. Hopefully we'll get feedback either way. But is there anything else you haven't talked about that you want to provide feedback on?
Well, just something I don't know if we can have. Looking at the last page, the QR code, can people access it without that code?
Oh, yeah. So right underneath the code, it's kind of small enough to be addressed to it as well.
Because I did not see online from here. I see it working. Only because I was at the event this weekend, and I was amazed how many people, we had a QR code, and I was amazed how many people came up and said,
Yeah, we tried to hit both sides in case it was more convenient for people to do the QR code, which they got it.
Thank you. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
There's a deadline for that survey.
Oh, thank you. November 17th.
November 17th.
Yeah.
And we really hope to gather lots of info from you guys. Our community outreach data is really the most valuable data that we collect. It really helps us stand with the communities and really make sure that our rural communities and our priorities are at the forefront of our planning.
Thank you.
Of course, thank you.
Thank you guys so much. It's really helpful.
This is just kind of a short and sweet thought process reminder. Jim, you are emergency management coordinator, and I can't think of anybody better to be in that position based on the experience that you've had. I just want to make certain that we have a chain of command. I'm not sure if this has been reviewed in recent times, but in the event that you would be out of the area unavailable in some manner or way, that guess is that city recorder, I don't know if I had to, you know, if it fell to me, I wouldn't know what phone to pick up and call. So that is just my thought process, that if we could get, say, Michelle, Connor, fully informed on, look, if there is, if there's a rock slide and the road's closed, or something of catastrophic nature, the times we're living in, that there is another position, and then she could choose a designate in the event that it goes three down the line to make another one more contact. If we could put that together, make sure that, that we know what to do. Well, I stuffed it on there just because I wanted us to have, because as we go into winter, you know, it's more likely, I think, in winter time, but the world is a crazy place right now. I just want to make sure we have a clear chain of that.
And why I take space to bring that up, I'm talking to Mike Kent, Superior County Emergency Management, about just that. We're going through currently right now, we just started going through our whole emergency planning, and and so we thought, why don't we review it, let's review it and make sure we have to do that. And I think that's what's included in there. If it's not, I'm not sure it is part of the role from there. So
that's all I have. And I just hoping that we have enough chain of command to pick up the phone and know which way to go, right, left, or over the edge.
Thank you. Item 8C, LA 2201, ordinance 272, second reading, final vote. Do I have a motion? Don't hold it or do that. LA 2201, legislative amendment, the Detroit Development Code, ordinance number 272, the ordinance adopting text amendments to the City of Detroit Development Code. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Council needs a motion to approve LA 2201, ordinance 272. Second?
Second.
Second, Council Smith, discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Councilor Shepherd?
Aye.
Councilor Page?
Aye.
Councilor Luke?
Nay.
Councilor Tisdale?
Aye.
Councilor Smith?
Aye.
Councilor Nielsen?
Aye.
Mayor Trett?
Aye. Motion passes 5-2. Council Shepherd, Councilor Luke, no. Moving on, item 8D, USDA Rural Development Grant Public Hearing. We applied, the public applied for a grant from the USDA for additional work on the community center, and we have to have a public hearing. It was posted, so we'll do this at 7:03. Recess the city council session and open a public hearing on USDA preliminary architectural report. 23 and 7:03. Would anybody like to comment for or against the proposed article? Anybody? Hearing none, I close the public hearing at 7:03 and council session at 7:03 p.m. Next on the agenda, approve the consent calendar. Approve the minutes of the City Council regular session of August 10th, 2020. Any discussion? Have a motion to approve the consent calendar.
So moved.
Council Page moves to consent, approve the consent calendar. Second?
Second.
Second, Council Smith, discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All same sign? Stations? Motion passes unanimously. Staff report, HPH Engineering is not here. City reporter.
I was just going to give you guys the, I think I forgot this at the last meeting, as far as permits, August we have 3 dwelling permits and 2 structural permits. In September we had 1 dwelling permit and 2 structural permits. I am on the, the City Hall committee for this building, And I just want to give you an update. So they did approve $3,000 to purchase an AED machine, a first aid kit, and some cord covers for the gym area. They're looking into vinyl floor covering for the gym floor and some other playground or play equipment, a caddy for the storage, also a portable sound system, if they need a sound system in there. They're collecting money through the Can-Can Club, and we do have the blue bags here at City Hall, so they're encouraging anybody to pick up the blue bags if you want to collect cans. The donations are going towards the gym equipment. We're still working on a calendar, an online calendar, and we are having an open gym. So far we've had two. The third one is this Saturday. And then as far as events coming up, we have this tree lighting ceremony December 2nd, and then Cowboy Thanksgiving on February 3rd. And then, of course, we had our first big event last weekend with the History Jamboree. So that's kind of what's been going on with that. Community Center Management Committee. And I think that's all for me.
Thank you. Plenty. See you right here. Mary County Sugar, not here. Michelle King. Just had a conversation with her. Things seem to be going well with us. They continue to monitor and inform. I've told me they'll keep us informed. Not that we expect any more lightning strikes, but we are on their radar. If anything goes on in force, we should know about that. I'm sure we don't. From my other times. Identity Threat Road Fire Protection District. See anybody here? First thing in Seward. Do you have anything?
Nothing.
Nothing to report. Okay. City Clerk.
Oh, yeah, I do. So this week, our public works, our street, Richard Kane, he went out and got all the information for street signs and for stop signs and came back with that information so that Michelle can order those. So I just wanted to give that update.
I'm working with American Barricade. They're putting the order together for us right now.
Moving on, item 11, unfinished business, street signs, Councilor Shepherd, probably part of your report, but we'll get to you in just a second. ZBCDR franchise management, now no more of our conduct should be filed by the November meeting. CIS negotiations, it's with the attorneys, theirs and ours, in terms of the negotiation on the final settlement. I checked with Chris Edmund the other day, made sure he hadn't heard anything, I know he got the rest of us at. And he hasn't either, so additional lawyers are still negotiating and going from there. Ordinance 251 parking, that's just on the county ordinance. Go ahead.
With the no parking that we're talking about in our charter and our ordinances, there's about 28 streets that are supposed to have no parking signs. Is it possible when we're ordering the signs of the streets and stop signs? I'm not saying that the pop will go towards that, but can we order some of those as well?
So were those missing after the fire?
Yes.
Because they're not on the FEMA list that FEMA provided for us.
Well, if that's not on that list, that's fine. If we just order those through American Barricade or whichever.
Okay, yeah, I'll probably have Richie go out and make another trip around and see exactly how many we need. Are they all, they're not all missing, right?
Well, I've never seen one, so I'm going to say probably.
Okay, yeah, we'll send Richie back out.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do have a few no parking signs in the bus barn, too.
Can we use those two?
Okay, Council reports. Council Shepherd.
Pretty much the same as 2 weeks ago. We're working, still working on a railing with the East 4th Avenue paving and pedestrian project. We're probably not going to be able to strike probably until next spring because of the cold weather. I'm looking at some more grants for next year. The big priority would be the, what I would call the Second Street Light Press and Third Street Multi Street Loop project. Second Street's really terrible shape. And I'd like to do some more striping next year. The last big striping project we had in town was actually September of 2019. And then Russ Bowman and some folks helped out, did some volunteer striping, and we went out for about three evenings and got a lot done. And that was from $1,500 that Debbie Rule wrote a check for us for the striping paint. That was, that worked out great. I'd like to explore their other options for dust abatement. We have, well, the county put out the fluid 2 years ago, and they did about a mile and a half, and that cost about $11,000. I don't know if we can get the county to do that again. We might have to come up with some funding. And I would like to put a few speed bumps on CNAM Avenue. We're getting quite a few people that are going way over the speed limit. I think a couple of real speed bumps and maybe a couple of fake ones might help out. Let's see. And I would like to put some gravel on the south end of Scott Avenue and also 4th Street. They were overlooked, and the county put in gravel. That was, they put in gravel in the areas that were burned. That was a big thing. That was one of the reasons why they put the gravel in there. There was a lot of ash and a lot of dust, and that might take funding also. And then been working on the signs with Michelle Connor and Lindsay and our city employee, Richie King. That's about it.
Thank you. Councilor Page.
Not really a lot to update. I think they got really close to topping out the block walls at the water plant facility this week. It'll get really close. Next phase of that will be cutting the notches for the roof trusses to go in. But the goal is to try and be dried in up there by the end of November. That'll be for the treatment plant facility for it to be able to go in there. Plant number two is up and running up there. So that's what I've got for right now. And I'll give some numbers and a little more detail at the November meeting.
Thank you. Councilor Luke.
I've got a couple calls out to some painters to get a quote to fix up cracks in the restrooms that were caused by the leaks and freezing, and then paint the insides. Other than that, it doesn't look like the roof is leaking, so that's pretty awesome. Good. Or any other crack.
Thank you. Deal well. Council President.
Nothing for me tonight.
Councilor Smith.
Thank you, Mayor. I've been working also with City Attorney Mr. Shipman's firm to get our ordinance officer position duties aligned with everything that they'll be in charge of and helping us enforce. I'm hoping to have that. I'd like to have it by the next meeting, if possible. I'm not sure if it is yet. And after talking to Marion County Sheriffs, I'm also going to be working with them.
Ranger King on the golf cart and side-by-side ordinance from Titan Valley a little bit that they sent has a lot that I need some, a little bit more help on it, so we'll work on that as well. And that's all.
Thank you. Councilor News?
Nothing for last year.
Thank you. Mayor's report. This is my committee, it's been a busy one. October 5th, I attended the San Diego Integration Team conference. It was a day spent talking about the services still being on the private set to Jan and residents. You put in a plot or notebook in the office here if anybody wants information on programs that might be available from the team. It would be here to have information to contact. We heard from everybody regarding mental health issues and home issues, all those kinds of food banks and everything else. So there will be some information here really quickly. October 12th through the 14th, I was at the Oregon Mayor Association Board meeting on the last month of November, called Mayboard. At the League Board and Cities Conference in Eugene, give a lot of information on new builds. Every time I go there, I'm asked to present what's going on in Detroit. People want to know. We're still talking a lot of different minds about what they're doing. And I just keep hearing how great these things, these great voices that drive through. I keep saying, do more of the drive through, stop on business stores. Did a very interesting interview with a gentleman named Isaac Denzer on the 18th. He is a professor at North Carolina University. He's writing up some plans for disaster management and things like that, so I'll be able to do that. On the 27th, Chris Epley and I will be in Eugene addressing the Oregon Association of Planning Administrators, city planners from all over the West Coast. Again, talking about what's going on in Detroit since September 2020. Looking forward to that. And then on the 31st, I'll be back in Eugene at the Oregon Summit of Wildfire Recovery. It's a brand new program. The state has formed a committee, just so people know. We're expecting another round of fire recovery money from the feds. They want to be in a position when that money becomes available. Imagine if. They want to be able to get it out faster than they did before the last round. So hopefully we play a part in that and be a voice in how they need to do that a lot faster. So it's been, I'd say, a pretty busy month from there. Any other business? Upcoming meetings, the regular council meeting, November 14th, 2023, Wednesday Hall at 6:30 p.m. And one last thing. Did anybody get here to the old Detroit History Jamboree last weekend?
Yeah, I
got by on Sunday. If you weren't there, folks, it was fantastic. Bob Reinhardt, who was from the Canyon originally, is now a professor of history at the University of Idaho, which here was his team over the weekend. And I asked him how it went. He said he couldn't dream of going to be there. He was just ecstatic with the participation of new folks. They got a lot of oral history reported to me from people who wanted to be interviewed. They were scanning the old megaphone for the high school here when I was up here. So they were very busy when they were done. They said, "We got to get out of here. This team had to catch a plane back." So he was celebrating that. So anyway, it's a great weekend. Thanks to everybody who participated. And I have a motion to adjourn.
One more thing before we adjourn. We've been up doing two council meetings for the month of November with us being in council on the 14th. The following week is actually Thanksgiving week, and then it will be the end of the month on the 28th, which gets too close to the December meeting. I would move that we just have the 14th as our council meeting for November and call it with that.
Council Page moves to delete the not holding November 28th for the council meeting.
Second.
Second. Second. Council Luke, discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All same sign. Abstentions? Motion passed unanimously. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Council Lewis, moves to adjourn. Second Council Smith, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All same sign. Abstentions? We are adjourned at 7:20.